This is the AC Report.
Trouble bussing in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble on the promenade, and the gambling commissioner's hanging on by the skin of his teeth. Everything dies, baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday he comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair up pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City.
Ah, yes, it is time for our weekly look at Monopoly City, the Vegas of the East, a city which is just as much a resort destination for people from Philadelphia as it is from for people from New York City. One of the most interesting cities in all the world happens to be Atlantic City. And a lot of people have really taken to this segment, actually much more so than I ever anticipated. I expected that people who like going to Atlantic City would like to hear coverage of it. But I've been really overwhelmed by the people over the course of the last year and a half who say they haven't been to Atlantic City in 20 years, but they still enjoy about hearing all the interesting things that happen there because it's such an interesting town. A guy who has his finger on the pulse of precisely what is happening on the 48 blocks of Atlantic City is Scott Cronick. He is the editor of AC Weekly. He is the director of entertainment operations for the press of Atlantic City. He's a radio talk show host down there. And he also happens to be the co-owner of the Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. Scott, thanks so much for getting up early for us.
Oh, anytime, buddy.
Scott, one of the things about Atlantic City, even when it was at its nadir, when it was really struggling financially and in terms of morale and in terms of all these other areas, it always tended to do pretty well during the summer and the 4 weeks before summer, the 4 weeks after summer. Winter is usually a different story. What are you seeing down there in terms of how busy Atlantic City's been now that it's winter and it's cold out and people can't hang out on the beach?
I'll tell you what we're not seeing is a lot of people. That's for sure. It is dead. It is quiet. It is, actually a beautiful time to come down here if you like that kind of thing. But, you have all the spots to yourselves. You have the boardwalk to yourselves. But it is a little eerie, too. So it depends how you look at it. But for me as a business owner, it could be downright depressing. And it is. But, I would say that it's gotten a little better over the years until COVID hit. When COVID hit, that's sort of put everything back, set everything back 10 years. This year is probably the worst since, it's even worse than last year because of the Omicron surge. Has been really, really bad for Atlantic City, particularly small businesses. From what I understand, the casinos are still doing okay on weekends, but the weekdays are tough. But for us small businesses, it's pretty bad right now.
Now, why is that? Is that because people are having a reluctance to come down there, or because there's I know there's not much in the way of restrictions, right? No vaccine passport, no mask mandates.
No, it's totally free to come and do as you please, like it was 2017. But the thing is, I think it's the Omicron surge. I think people are scared of it. I think that, of course, the media doesn't help in that department to make things people scared of it. But I also think the weather hasn't helped. It's been really a very, very harsh winter, even though it's an early winter. I mean, we've had more snow here this year already than we've had all of the last 2 years combined. It's been a brutal winter. We're going to get more today. It's been cold. Pennsylvania's had a lot of snow and a lot of bad weather. And I just think that, money's tight, especially from last year. It's worse than last year because all that stimulus money is not out there, Frank. When you think about it, people had a lot of money in their pockets and they spent it.
One of the things that you brought to our attention was maybe 10 months ago, there was a big problem with staff, not only at the smaller businesses, but the larger ones. Even big hotels like the Borgata weren't able to open to capacity because they weren't able to hire enough people to service all these rooms. What is the situation like in terms of staff shortages now? Now that the government stimulus has diminished, are businesses down there still having a tough time hiring people?
Oh, yeah, in a big way. In fact, they came to me. I don't know how I became the spokesperson for this, but I actually had NBC Nightly News come on and do a segment that I was featured on for the whole city. And, you know, we were on national news about this topic, and it has not gotten any better. It's dire. You have the casinos. I'll give you an example. We had Caesars on my show, my radio show yesterday, and this was their restaurant, Nero's, a great restaurant, by the way, if anybody's looking for somewhere to go. Great steakhouse. And before they, you know, I said, hey, did we get to everything? You know, like you probably usually do as a radio host. And I said, yeah. They said, oh, yeah, I think so. And they said, oh, wait a minute. No, we're hiring, by the way, at all positions. Please go to Caesars.com or whatever they were given the website. And I was like, wow, that goes to show you. This was a restaurant manager who was so desperate for help that at the end of the interview, she's pleading for people to come work for them. And that's the case of how it is everywhere. Joe Lupo, the president of Hard Rock, comes on my show. He said that I think they could hire 500 people right now. There's more than 2,000 jobs available throughout the casinos. That's just the casinos. That's not talking about small businesses or anything in the, you know, in the outskirts of Atlantic City. That's just the casinos, 2,000 jobs available, and they could hire people right now. And these are good jobs, right? These are full-time jobs, a lot of them, and they just can't fill the positions.
That is something. Now, you, as I mentioned, are the co-owner of Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, a great place to hang out, a fun place to drink, but also a great restaurant with great food. Are you experiencing staff shortages?
No, not now. It's the off season. And like I said, we're struggling right now. It's been hard winter, but we're okay. The small businesses are okay. In fact, we're hoping that we can keep the people that we have, you know, because they're coming in, you know, on a bad day. They might walk out with not a whole lot of money. We're hoping that they don't go to the casinos and pick up a job because we hope to retain them. So when it does pick up again, we're going to be okay. And, you know, February around Valentine's Day is when things break for us. And then, Columbus weekend. And then by the time of St. Patrick's Day rolls on, we'll be okay. But January and the end of December have been a challenge, to say the least.
Now, we're talking with Scott Cronick. He is a journalist, a radio talk show host in Atlantic City, and also the co-owner of the Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. You mentioned that now's not a bad time to visit because it's not too crowded. Let's say people are listening to us, Scott, that aren't gamblers. If you go down there to Atlantic City now, obviously beach life is pretty limited. There's still great restaurants. There's still great bars. Beyond that, what are, if any, the key activities for the non-gamblers in our audience?
Oh, by the way, it disturbs me when I heard you give me an intro that people haven't been here for 20 years. I hope we could change that
a
little
bit. Here's your chance to win them over. Win them over.
Yeah. So again, I mean, I think I tout this more than anybody is that, you know, we have more headlining entertainment and more music and more concerts and more things than most cities in the country. And that's because you have 10 casinos who are all trying to get people in there on weekends. So on an average weekend, you could have 10 to 15 headliners, not counting boxing or MMA or what might be happening down here. And there's always something to do, and that's constant. And, you know, I could say, like, in the winter or maybe, I don't know, like, if you even look at New York City, Frank, you would know better than me. But if you take away, the small comedy clubs and things like that, you're not going to find as many headliners in New York City on a week that you will in Atlantic City. I mean, so the only other rival city might be Las Vegas, you know, definitely Las Vegas. They blow us away. But the point is that you can come down here and always find some. This weekend, we're going to have a championship boxing event at Borgata for the first time in 15 years. There's a lightweight fight with an undefeated fighter who's going to be here at Borgata, and Borgata's going to get back to the fighting game. That's encouraging. So there's always stuff to do. And again, you know, we have amazing restaurants here from celebrity chefs or chefs you may never heard of, branded restaurants to always go to. So that's always fun. The sports books are jumping, and especially this time of year. Playoff weekend was last weekend. It was huge at the sports books. They continue this weekend. And, you know, these sports books, Frank, are like, you know, Las Vegas sports books.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're beautiful with recliners and giant TVs and great food. And they're a blast. So there's tons of stuff to do here. The outdoor stuff obviously is not happening right now. The boardwalk isn't real fun. You can come visit a place like ours and experience Atlantic City's smaller side. Go to a place like Tony's Baltimore Grill, have some great pizza, or, you know, or Tony Bologna's have great subs. But yeah, man, it's like any town this time of year in the Northeast. Well, what do? You eat, you maybe you go see a show, gamble, go see, maybe go watch some sports, and maybe sleep an extra hour.
Yeah. So let's talk about Atlantic City's future. Last week at this time, we were talking with David Danzas, who's another terrific reporter, about this this groundbreaking for the new water park that's going to be at Showboat that Bart Blatstein is launching. Now, as a new father, I'm pretty excited about this. I'm looking forward to taking my son there. David was not that excited about it. He basically was very bullish, very bearish on it. He didn't have a lot of confidence in Bart Blatstein to get this done, and he thinks that Atlantic City's future is not necessarily as a family entertainment destination, but more as an adult entertainment destination. Give me your take on this water park. How do you think it's going to do?
You got to remember, about 25 years ago, Las Vegas tried this, right? They wanted to try to find that family. Now, if you go down there, the roller coasters are gone. All those things that they try to do, the ship in front of Treasure Island, I don't think does what it used to do. There's a lot of, you know, now that Hard Rock bought the volcano at Mirage, that volcano will be gone. So, you know, those family things that they wanted to do were gone. That didn't work. But I think Atlantic City is a little different, Frank. I think that Atlantic City could be that hybrid. I think that it would be great to have a water park. I think it would be awesome for people to have that alternative, especially in this off season, right? I mean, how great would it be to go to an indoor water park? When you asked me that question just a minute ago, I'd be able to say we have a $100 million indoor water park you can come to, right? And then you could be like a Great Wolf Lodge in the Poconos or whatever. You don't have to go there. You can come here and do that. But, you know, Bart Blatstein and I are don't see eye to eye.
How come? Tell it without, you know, airing too much dirty laundry. Give us an idea of why. You can make it abstract if you want. Why people might not like Bart Blatstein.
Well, you know, on my radio show, I'm outspoken and I say the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts. And he was just he just asked somebody to actually, you know, tell me to calm down a little bit. And I don't think what I say is anything crazy. But, you know, here's a guy who took over the pier at Caesars, which was I wouldn't say it was robust when he took it over, but it was certainly more robust than it is now. It had two Steven Starr restaurants, Budokan and Continental. It had Phillips Seafood. It had a great sushi place.
By the way, I love all three of those places, Budokan, Continental, and Phillips Seafood. Those were all great places.
Absolutely. I missed them, man. I really
Me
do.
Too.
It had an
Me too.
It had an Apple store. It had you know, all these, you know, really boutique shops. I think when he took it over, Coach was still there, and, you know, some major brands were still there. And now it's a ghost town in there. All those restaurants closed. The entire level where the restaurants, there's nothing on it. Most of the stores are done. Apple store is gone. It's a depressing place, right? So what does he do? He hands it back to Caesar and says, it's your problem, right? And you know, then he goes and buys the Showboat, and then he buys the Garden Pier next to it. The Garden Pier was an art center for Atlantic City. That thing has sat desolate since he bought it. He hasn't done a damn thing since he got it. And the Showboat, even though it's doing well because he sells rooms very inexpensively to people who might not want to pay the higher prices at the casinos, especially during the off season, he won't even spend the money to take down signs. The House of Blue sign is on the outside. Inside, there's restaurant signs as you walk in there for places like Starduzio's and Castanopoli that haven't been there for 10 years. I mean, if you're not going to spend the money to even take signs down to make your place look like a relic, how are you going to spend $100 million to go to the future? Like, I just don't get it.
So it sounds like you're similarly skeptical that this water park will even come to fruition.
Well, listen, I want it to come. And, I keep saying on my show that I'll believe it when my fat ass slides down the main slide there. But, you know, the truth is that I'll go to Bart Blatstein. If he'll shake my hand, I'll shake it. I'll say, Bart, I'm sorry. I wanted this to happen. I'm glad it happened, and I really do wish you the nothing but the best, because I want the success of Atlantic City. It's the most important thing to me. But you know, he's dealing with. He told our newspaper reporter Michelle Post at the press that he has the money for this project, all his money, and then a follow up story reveals that the county has to sell about $90 million worth of bonds, and it sounds like they're junk bonds that haven't been even out to sell yet, and so he doesn't have the money. The money's not there, and it looks like it's going to have to be funded by the taxpayers but it looks like the county is going to go out there and put its neck out a little bit and go after these bonds for Bart Blatstein. So I'm going to have Denny Levinson, the county executive, on to explain that a little more. So I don't want to get ahead of it, and I don't want to be wrong about it, but I don't think he has the money, and he told everybody he does. And there's another thing that just kind of, you know, makes me very skeptical.
What about the plans? And apparently there's been a groundbreaking for there's poised to be a groundbreaking for this new boutique hotel on South New York Avenue. I think it's called the Cardinal. I mean, that's certainly, I would think, a sign of good things to come, both in terms of jobs and sure. the fact that people want to invest in Atlantic City, even if it's only a 14-room hotel. Are you excited about that project?
I am. But can I just back up for 1 second, Frank? And I don't want to sound like, you know, Bart and I have any kind of, you know, we don't have any kind of business deals that went bad. I don't know him personally. I don't really, I'm only speaking from a guy who's like an outsider. But
sure, I get
what he did in Philadelphia is impressive. I mean, when he took over, you know, a neighborhood there and transformed it, his track record in Philadelphia is outstanding. That hasn't related to here. So I don't want to just only say bad things about Bart Blatstein, because he has done good things.
And he's kind enough to occasionally come on this show, which we like too. So.
What's that?
He's kind enough to occasionally come on this show, which we appreciate as well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so I don't want to just say he's totally 100%. He's not the Joker here, but he's. But I'm just skeptical of him in Atlantic City, as good of a businessman as he is. So anyway, so back to the Cardinal on Tennessee Avenue, or on it's New York Avenue, two streets over from us. That was a historic building, and there used to be an old Atlantic City restaurant called Mama Mott's in there. And anybody who knows Atlantic City knows Mama Mott's. It was just this legendary place. Like back when you know, people would say, where do you go to dinner? You go to Mama Mott's, you go to White House Subs. It was in the same – you go to Tony's Baltimore Grill. It was in the same kind of conversation. So, yeah, you know, we're excited to see an empty building that was a strip club for a while to turn into something exciting. Michael Brennan is a great chef. He's one of the partners there. He had a – great restaurant called the Cardinal Bistro and Vendor. So he's moving that restaurant to New York Avenue, and then they're going to build this boutique hotel. Now, they've said this for about 3 or 4 years, Frank. So again, why are they waiting, right? What's the holdup? So I think that maybe obviously COVID stops everybody a little bit, but I want to see progress. I don't want to wait another 3 or 4 years. If they're going to do it, I hope they start doing it, because I haven't seen any building or construction there yet.
Tell us what's happening at your place. If people do find themselves in Atlantic City anytime soon, what's going on at Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall?
So Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, we have you know, great live music every weekend. We have amazing comfort food, pub food. We have the best tap list in South Jersey. We have 40 taps, and we get hard to find beers for all those craft beer drinkers, and we also have great cocktails as well. So I hope people come by. We're gonna have a great Mardi Gras event with the Dixieland Jazz Band on Fat Tuesday. Of course, we'll be having doing things for the Super Bowl, and you know, we open up a brand new restaurant right next to us. My partner Mark Collazo and Lee Sanchez, they opened up a place called Cuzzy's Pizzeria, getting really great reviews and really great attention and customers, even in the off season. It's pizza and sandwiches, Italian food. And then we have two other businesses right there, Rhythm and Spirits, which is kind of an upscale Italian place. And next to us is Bar 32 Chocolate, which is the only place you're going to be able to find chocolate made from the bean in the entire state of New Jersey.
Cool.
Plus chocolate cocktails and chocolate desserts and all kind of cool stuff. So, you know, it's not just the beer hall. We've kind of created a little hub of activity and fun and things to do there, and we hope people come check us out for sure.
Overall, would you say you're optimistic about Atlantic City's future, or are you not yet? Are you pessimistic, or are you neither optimistic nor pessimistic?
Oh, no, I'm very optimistic. I think that when you see what's happening, particularly in our neighborhood, which they're calling the North Beach right now, we're part of that. You're seeing that the numbers for, say, Hard Rock Resorts and Ocean Casino are very good. I mean, when you look at Ocean Casino in particular and how that thing has surged from people wondering if it was going to survive at all to being the number three casino in Atlantic City is really a fairy tale story. I mean, this was a $2 billion beautiful building that no one could seem to get a handle on it, and now it's just thriving and doing great, you know. And Borgata's still the number one casino there in the Marina District, so they're going to be able to keep that up. And no, I'm really bullish on Atlantic City. And when you see projects like ours, and then, like you said, the one that's on New York Avenue, it's pretty exciting. But Frank, here's my dilemma. We need the city to support buildings like us and different people who come in and spend their money and not just take city money or not. We've done all that stuff on Tennessee Avenue with no support from the city or the state. That was all, you know, Mark Collazo's funding. So, but since then, they haven't done a damn thing for us there. They haven't put a tree on the street or any kind of landscaping or fixed the sidewalk or put in additional lights or have done anything. And I think they needed to use us an example on Tennessee and New York Avenue, which we call the Orange Loop, from us, St. James, and New York, and say, hey, if you come here and spend your money, we're going to show that we're going to support you. We're going to come back and we're going to do infrastructure. We're going to beautify your area so that other developers can say, wow, look at Atlantic City. Look what they do if you go and show that you're going to spend your own money. Well, Frank, they haven't done anything for us there. So we hope that changes, and we hope that they start doing things to beautify our area, because they have a real good opportunity there, and I really think they're blowing it.
Yeah. No, I hope they step up in a big way as well. Scott, I will see you the next time I'm in Atlantic City, I hope. And in the meantime, anybody that makes their way down there, I hope they'll go check out Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall as well. It's always a great treat to talk to you, Scott.
Hey, best to you on that, and your beautiful wife and that lovely baby of yours.
Thank you very much. And next New Year's Eve, put it in your calendar. We're not taking no for an answer this year.
All right, I'll try not to go to Mexico.
There you go. Scott Cronick, he is a terrific radio talk show host. He's also a reporter for the Press of Atlantic City, or the director of entertainment operations, and the editor of AC Weekly.